He died for you. He died for me. From our sin, He set us free. He loved us so. His life He gave. So if we ask, we can be saved.
Hello, my name is Rick Hurtless, founder of His Gospel Power, and author of my newest book, God's Promise for Your Success, His Promised Grace. I'm so glad that you could join with us on today's program. As we go through this series, His Promised Grace, I know that you will discover that God's grace has allowed you to live the abundant life here on this earth as you walk in Jesus Christ. As you listen to the series, you will understand that the abundant life is more than finances, it's more than cars, it's more than houses, it's much more than any of that. It is eternal salvation in Jesus Christ that allows us to walk in His abundance with joy in our heart, knowing that God is in control of these troubled times. Now let's listen to the message, His Promised Grace. I trust in Your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in Your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for He has been so good to me. As we come to You in humility, Lord, I pray You will speak to our hearts. I pray our hearts will be meditated upon You. The words of my mouth will be pleasing to You. And I give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been discussing His promised grace. The grace that He has given to us, if you'll turn with me to Ephesians. That He promised to us before the beginning of time. That He planned for us before you were ever even thought about. Before Adam was even thought about. We have a God that lives in the present, the past, and the future. Are you comfortable with the world around you today? Do you see the sin and decide that nothing can be done anyway, so why care? Or do you realize that something can be done, but someone else will do it? I don't have to do that. Surely someone else will take up the mantle. I've been there and I have done that. You see things happening in the world today. You watch TV. It doesn't take very long to watch TV and find out that we have been desensitized to sin. But God's grace has been extended to you. You can have the forgiveness of Jesus Christ by simply asking Him to change your life. Today, right now, this very moment. If you've already asked, then you have His salvation today. If you haven't asked, you can have His salvation today. It has been extended for you to just take in, just accept the grace that He has given to you through the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4, 17 through 19. We must live holy lives. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with continual lust for more. What a picture of today. Think about the things that you could watch when you were younger. There was not hardly one cuss word on regular TV when we were younger. Not if someone said hell, without the connotation of church. That was going to be bleeped out when I was a kid. These days, everything is fair game. Everything. We've been desensitized to sin. But the Bible tells us that we must no longer live as the world does. We have to have the same sensitivity towards sin that Jesus Christ has. We must hurt the way God hurts in a sinful world. Do you hurt that way? I must confess, many times I don't. I've been desensitized to it as well. The blood, the guts, the gore, the profanity, the sex, everything that is on TV, it doesn't even jump out to me any longer. I'd begun praying about that a few weeks ago. You know what I've discovered? I watch the news a lot more, which that's not necessarily a good thing. I can't hardly watch anything. It begins to almost hurt. Because God has extended His grace to me, the grace of love. He's placed that on top of me. The Bible tells us here, having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be the person who has lost sensitivity. Now, He's talking about the Gentiles. He's talking about people that don't know Christ. And so why am I talking to you about this? You do know Christ. Shouldn't we just bypass this and just jump on to the next verse? Think about the aspects of your life and the things that you see and the things that you forget and the same things that you don't even notice. Because we have been desensitized to it. If you continue in the ways of the world, you lose all sensitivity. Every single aspect of our life, we want to make sure we get along. We want to make sure that everything is done according to what the world says, not necessarily according to what the Word of God says. We want to make sure that our teaching, the Word of God, if we teach creation at all, if we teach creation, then we want to make sure it lines up to what the scientists said about creation, about evolution, basically no creation, but about how the formation of the world is. We want to make sure that we line up with that. Instead of wanting those men to line up with the Word of God, God was there. Those scientists were not. But yet, we don't want to be called stupid. We don't want to be called fanatic. We don't want to be called radical. We want to make sure we line up with every aspect. The same thing goes with disciplining our children. The same thing goes with running our households. The man no longer is the head of the house. It's all upside down. The reason that the divorce rate is so high in America is because the family unit is upside down. The children run the house, the children run the mother, and the mother runs the father. Or either that or he just doesn't have the guts to stand up and say, you know what? No, we're not doing this any longer. There might be a little bit of discontent in the household for a time. But you can trust me on this. The women want discipline. And the children want discipline, and I believe the women do also. Not necessarily discipline the way that you would do with a child, but the fact that you are willing to take a stand for God, and the fact that you are willing to agree with each other together and live a godly life, and the fact that at one point in time there has to be a decision to be made, and ladies, you need to trust your husbands to make that decision and make a mistake. That's where you come together as a unit. And that's where you discuss the decision that needs to be made. But when it comes time to turn right or turn left, somebody has to make a decision. Occasionally, when Francis and I'm sorry, honey, she hates it when I do this. I'm so sorry. It's all right, I've already spit it out now. Occasionally, when Francis and I are riding down the road and she thinks that we should go right, I might go left. Most of the time I'm right, because, you know, women are not always that good on directions. But you know, yesterday we were going somewhere and she said, we should be going right. And I went left. And sure enough, she was right. But see, I made the decision. At this point, I should have listened to her, no doubt about it. But I had to also accept the responsibility of being wrong. And of course, you guys know what that is. I told you we should have gone right, you know. You know what that is. And more seriously, though, in the household, if we follow what God has told us to do, then we will begin to understand how we are to get the family unit strong once again in the church. The church is not exempt from the divorce rate. The church is not exempt from family problems. And most of the time, I believe, it's because we have been desensitized to the way that what God has told us to do. And instead, we want to do what the world says to do. Women's equality. Yes, women are equal with men. Men, do not get the impression that you have the hand ruling over the woman. And you do as I say, not as I do. It's up to you to follow everything I have said. No, wrong, guys. Wrong. You better make sure that as you follow, you are following what God has to say. That way, if you make a social mistake, but it's according to what God has said, your family will still stay tight. And your family will still stay together. And your family will know it's the right decision. But if you step out of those boundaries, asking your wife to do something that is not according to what God has planned, you're in some big trouble. So don't take this as some sort of a license, guys. Not what I'm giving. That's not what I'm saying. Not what God is giving. God is saying that there is a hierarchy, and He's at the top. And He has placed man at the second, just because we were there first, not because we're better. Because you men know as well as I do, we're not better. Without the woman, we're nothing. Miss Orr asked me this morning, well, how do you feel when now that Francis is back? And of course, you know, I'm excited. Because even though, truly, I didn't do anything different than when she's there. She still goes to her office. And a lot of times at nights, we don't necessarily see each other because she goes to her office, she's working on some things. I'm reading or I'm doing something else. I'm watching the news. We're not necessarily together, but yet we're together. Because you can just kind of glance over there and there she sits. And then there's that calm. And then there's that peace. And then, of course, if I want to go do something, I can say, let's go do something. I have somebody to go do something with. How many of you guys ever go out to eat by yourself? That's a bummer. It's not any fun. You're missing something when part of you is gone. But that's because God has put the order that He has told us to do. But yet nowadays, because of this losing the sensitivity to God, making sure that we do everything, we want to make sure that everything lines up with the way the world says. After all, we don't want to be called stupid or fanatic or anything of the sort. Instead, it's exactly like Brother Ron was saying, we get further, Jesus is still standing there, but we get further and further away because we're not obedient to what He has told us to do. There's a guy, some of you may have heard about, Roman Polanski. This is how far we have come. Roman Polanski raped a young girl, I think she was 13 years old, about 15 years ago. And then he fled. He was convicted. They said he was guilty. He fled the country. He was able to evade arrest because he stayed in those countries that did not allow extradition. One day he stepped out of bounds and he went to Switzerland and they did allow extradition. Those guys were there to slap the handcuffs on him. 15 years later, they brought him back. You would think everyone would be saying, good job. You've done well, FBI or whoever it was that arrested him. This guy should be brought to justice. But instead, I am hearing things come out of Hollywood especially, because this is who is leading your children's minds. This is who is leading your minds. This is who you have allowed to come into your house and be able to formulate how you are going to think. I am hearing things about consensual sex. 13-year-old girl, a 40-year-old man, who he drugged, by the way. And I'm beginning to hear a lot of things. You know what? It's been a long time. Everything's forgotten and forgiven. Just let the guy go. You're desensitized to sin in the world that we live in. Are you sensitive to sin that is around you? Ephesians 4, 20 through 24. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. You heard of Him and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of the minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. That's what God created us for. To be like Him. To emulate Him. His plan was He was going to put us in this garden. We were going to obey Him. And after our obedience, He was going to let us eat of the tree of life, to live with Him throughout eternity with a relationship to God. We messed that up. And since we messed that up, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us on the cross, that we might have eternal salvation. And accepting that salvation, that we put off our old self and all things become new. Did you hear what I said? This is not my words. To be made new in the attitude of your minds, the Holy Spirit, put on the new self, put off the old self. That requires something. That requires that we allow the Holy Spirit to guide our lives. Because He goes on and He says that we are to put off the old self, but we are to put on the new. We have to allow God to work in our lives. And too many times we are fighting against what He is trying for us to do. Wait a minute. If I do this, the world's going to say I'm nuts. If I do this, it's not going to work. We don't follow what God has told us to do. Have you accepted the sin that surrounds you? I know that in fact we have. In fact, the Bible tells us because of His grace, you have no excuse because of God's grace that has covered you. You do not have to be concerned with sinning any longer. You were created to be righteous if you will allow God to lead your life. We have been sealed in Jesus Christ. Sealed. The Bible tells us that the grace increases when we sin more. The direct paradox of what we would think it is. But as we sin, the grace of God increases. Romans 6, 1 through 4. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through the baptism of death, in order that just as Christ has raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. The Bible tells us that as we sin more, grace abounds more. He has allowed us an out We must strive to live a life that is holy in Christ. Therefore, each of us must put off the falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Do not let the devil give a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do you realize what all of this scripture is saying? You have a part in this. The sanctification is just a process of becoming holy. That's all sanctification, that big word, means. It means that you are being sanctified daily, which being sanctified, it just means you are becoming more like Christ. That means that we have a part to play. We can't work our way into salvation. We are saved. Once saved, always saved. We are sealed in Jesus Christ. But the problem that many denominations have with the fact that our doctrine says once saved, always saved, is they say that gives a license for sin. You can say, I'm saved, now I can just go on and do whatever I want to do. But Paul says in Romans, God forbid. What shall I say? Shall we go on sinning because His grace abounds more? God forbid. We must strive to live the life that is holy in Christ. We must look around us in the world and recognize the sin that is around us. And be sensitive once again to the sin. The world is full of sin and people that are dying and going to hell. God has laid a foundation. The foundation is called Jesus Christ. He wants us to build from that foundation. Perhaps the reason that we cannot grow the church is because we no longer have a passion for the lost. We no longer cry in our heart when we see someone that is living in sin. Because of grace, because of the grace of God, you are sealed in His salvation. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit. When you accept Jesus Christ, you cannot lose your salvation. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Ephesians 4, 29 through 32. But only what is helpful, building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. When you accept Jesus Christ into your heart, He changes your life. He comes into you. And He wants to begin that sanctification process. He wants to begin the process of making you holy. Some of us take a whole lot longer than others. Some it's very quick. Others it takes years. No one else has to raise their hand, but I will. But you were sealed. I was sealed in Jesus Christ. You realize what that means? I was sealed in Jesus Christ. You know that when you receive the mark of the beast, do you realize that that is irrevocable? The mark of the beast. When in the tribulation time, when the Antichrist comes and gives those the mark, that accept his mark, they are sealed. And they have sealed their destiny and their fate. How much more our loving Father, as you accept His grace and His love, and He seals you. Boom! And He seals you. How much more will He hold you in His hand? You are sealed for the day of redemption. But He continues, even though you have the sealing, you still have a lot to learn. Ephesians, you still have a lot to learn. Church of Ephesus, you still have a lot to learn. We still have a lot to learn. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as God forgave you. God expects us to do His work for him. He expects it. Why? Well, so I can get saved, Rick, so I can do all of that work and make sure that I get into heaven. No. Because we have a loving Father who has extended grace to us, even though we did nothing to deserve it. And because we love Him, we want to work with Him. We want to do His work for Him. My father, when I was a boy, I had to go to work. Saturdays, after school. Sometimes it was distasteful. Sometimes I didn't want to do it. I always missed Saturday morning cartoons. Always missed them. Hated that. I watched Saturday morning cartoons for years after I left the house. But I wanted to do that. Why? Because Dad was going to kick me out of the house? Or why? Because he wasn't going to feed me that day or any of that? No. Because I loved him and I wanted him to be proud of me. I wanted him to say, "Well done, son. Come into the house and let's eat supper." God's the same. When I stand before Him, I want to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come on in, let's eat supper." Today is the day. Today is the day for God's forgiveness for you. Today is the day to begin a new life in Christ. I look at these faces, these eyes in this room. I believe every one of you have a relationship with Christ. But that doesn't mean today cannot be your day to rededicate yourself to God. To tell Him, "God, I am so sorry. I repent for not loving You more. I want to do what You want me to do. I want to go where You want me to go. I want to speak to those whom You would have me to speak to. I want to follow Your word. I want to seek You daily. I want to listen to what You have to tell me. I want to be sensitive to those who are lost. I forsake the ways of the world. I no longer want those things of the world and what it provides, because I know it just provides misery and hurt."
Thank you for joining with us on our broadcast of His Gospel Power. I'm excited that you join with us and listen to us daily about the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is a listener-supported program, and I'm asking that you might prayerfully consider joining with us to spread the gospel around the world. You can do that in many ways. You can either go to Amazon.com and buy any one of my books. My latest one is God's Promise for Your Success, His Promised Grace. All the proceeds of those books go to this program of His Gospel Power. Also, you could go to hisgospelpower.org, hisgospelpower.org, and there is a donate section on that website. That is our website here for His Gospel Power. And just go and click on the donate button. If you would prefer to mail your gift, you can just send it to P.O. Box 1569. That's P.O. Box 1569, Rockdale, Texas, 76567. And all contributions that we receive are greatly appreciated. You would truly be a blessing to this ministry. I'm excited once again that you have joined with us. And until next time, I pray that you experience His Gospel Power today.
Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed.